So you do have your Bibles, and there in Genesis chapter 50 is where we will spend our time tonight. We're going to talk about a couple of other passages, but we'll be continuing to go back here to Genesis chapter 50. As we begin tonight, I want to ask you a question. How is 2019 going for you so far? Is it good? Bad? No matter where you are this afternoon or how you find yourself doing, the Bible offers precious promises to us as believers for all the moments of life that may come along. As we're in the first month of a new year, perhaps you're like me. Perhaps you spent some time thinking about what last year brought about. And you thought about the ups and the downs, the goods and the bad. And maybe you've been thinking about this coming year. And you've been thinking about, well, what is this year going to bring along? And as you think about that, it's important that we do so with a proper perspective and a view towards honoring God. And so tonight I want us to look here in Genesis chapter 50 and to learn from the example of Joseph on how we are to view and respond to the events of life. Maybe tonight you sit there and you're discouraged. Maybe because of something that happened last year, or maybe because of what you're expecting to happen this year. Maybe there are family issues you're dealing with. Maybe it's a spouse who's not a believer. Maybe it's a child who has walked away from God. Maybe it's a problem that you're going through. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe you've been laid off and you're thinking about, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this situation? Maybe it's a struggle with a besetting sin that you've been battling and you can't seem to find the victory. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel defeated and unsure as to what God is doing. And why would God allow these kinds of things to happen to you? A child of God. Now, every one of us, we face events in our life that give us pause when we consider, why would God be doing this? Why is He allowing these kinds of things to happen? Now, when we talk about the events of our life, when we talk about how God is moving and operating, we typically refer to the providence of God, and that means God's control in the situation of life. What is God doing? How is He operating? And I think one of the greatest passages that there is about this particular idea of the providence of God is found here in Genesis chapter 50, but the other one is found in Romans chapter 8, and it says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Now, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, and notice what he says here. He says that all things work together for good. Not just the things that are good already, because that would be easy, right? If all the good things work together for good, that would be expected, and that would be easy for us to understand and to take in. But what Paul says here is that all things work together good. Not just the things that are good already, but all things, the hard things, the complicated things. The things that we can't seem to wrap our human minds around. God is causing all things to work together for good. Now, who is God doing this for? God causes all things to work together for good. For who, does Paul say? Those who love God and are called according to His purpose. For those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So God is actively moving and operating for those who He calls His own. If you're here tonight, and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've repented of your sins and put your trust in His Son, God has it all in control. No matter what may be happening in your life right now, no matter how many things seem to be coming at you, no matter how out of control it may seem to be, God has it all in control. When things aren't going as we hoped they would, or things aren't going as we planned them to, that may not be easy to believe. You may be sitting here tonight and you're saying, yeah, right. You don't know my situation. You don't know what's happening at home. You don't know what's happening at my job. You don't know the things that I'm walking through. And you're right, I don't. But God does. And God has it all in control. Beloved, believe this tonight. Hold on to this. Trust in this. That God is working. And He is working all things to your good. Don't believe me? Well, let's look at the life of Joseph and see how God is working all things to our good. Genesis chapter 50, let's read verse 20 again. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." Let's pray together. Father, tonight, Lord, I pray as we open up this text that you would, Lord, open our hearts. Lord, help us to see your providence. Help us to see your controlling hands in all things. Lord, as we are tempted to worry and fret and fear, God, may we trust in you. Lord, as life brings us the things that it brings us, and we are tempted to doubt your goodness and your faithfulness towards us, may we be reminded of this passage of Scripture. May we be reminded of your promise of goodness towards your children. Lord, I pray tonight, if there's someone here who's struggling in this area, God, that tonight this word will be an encouragement to their soul. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we begin, I want to start with just a little bit of background for maybe those of you who have never heard the story of Joseph, or maybe you've not read it in a little while, and maybe you're unfamiliar. So Joseph was the son of Jacob. Now, Jacob loved his children very much, but he loved Joseph more than all of them. And he demonstrated this by the way that he treated them and by the way that he treated Joseph. Now, everybody knows the story of Joseph's coat of many colors. Now, what this coat signified was that Joseph had kind of been set apart. This coat that he would wear really kind of signified that he wasn't going to be doing any manual labor. And now, this was in contrast to his older brothers who were shepherds and who were out working in the fields every day. And so you can almost understand how his brothers must have felt as they watched their younger brother getting this preferential treatment all the time. And then watching him get this coat, and as they're out there laboring day after day after day, working and toiling for the family, and they see Joseph here, not really doing anything as far as their minds are concerned. So his brothers devised a plan. They hated Joseph. And so then one day he came to them out in the field, and he told them of a dream that he had. He said, "I dreamed that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down unto me." And really what that was signifying, the sun and the moon would be his father and his mother, and the 11 stars would be all the rest of his brothers. And they're saying, "Joseph, you've lost your mind. If you think there's ever going to be a point in our life where we'll bow down to you, you're crazy." So they came with this plan. He said, "We're going to kill him. We're tired of this dreamer. We're tired of hearing all of these things that he has to say. We're going to kill our brother." Now, thankfully, stronger heads prevailed in their older brother, and they decided to not kill him, but they decided to sell him to a band of traders that were coming through. So they sold the brother off into slavery. Then they took his coat, covered it in goat's blood, took it back to their father, and said, "A wild animal has killed your son." Now, Joseph's new owners took him into Egypt, where he was purchased by Potiphar, who was the captain of the Egyptian guard. And there, Joseph experienced prosperity. One of the things that I love about the story of Joseph, if you go back in the earlier parts of Genesis here in chapters 39 and 40, what we find here is all throughout Joseph's life, no matter how difficult the circumstance may be, we keep refining the same phrase over and over, "And the Lord was with Joseph." When he was sold into slavery, the Lord was with Joseph. When he was put into prison, the Lord was with Joseph. Over and over, we find this recognition and this encouragement that no matter what he was facing, the Lord was with him. So as he arrives in Egypt by the providence of God, he's put into Potiphar's house. Now, Potiphar was the captain of the Egyptian guard. And so then, as time went on, Joseph gained favor with Potiphar and began to have rule over his house. For almost 13 years, he was the one in command of the household of Potiphar. Until one day, Potiphar's wife began to have a desire for Joseph. And so she continually came to him and was trying to get him to have an affair with her. And he would continually say, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that." Until finally one day she came after him. And as he was trying to flee, she grabbed his coat and he fled away, leaving his outer garment there. And so then she accused him of coming against her. And then Potiphar threw Joseph into prison. Now, Joseph didn't have a chance to defend himself. Joseph didn't have an opportunity to state his case. But again, we find even in this circumstance, the providence of God. So while Joseph is in prison, not very long after he was there, he was again experienced the favor of God and began to control all the things in the prison there. He was elevated to a position of leadership. And before very long, the chief baker and the chief other servant of Pharaoh were thrown into prison. And while they were there, they both had dreams that neither one of them could interpret. They couldn't figure out what was going on, the chief butler and the chief baker. Now, Joseph interpreted their dreams, and he told him the chief baker was going to be killed and the chief butler was going to be restored back to his position. Now, he promised Joseph, and this is important to remember, he promised Joseph in this moment, "When I get out of prison, I will remember that you are here." But when he got out, he forgot Joseph. Now, time went on again, and Joseph waited. And after a while he was in prison, Pharaoh had two dreams himself. And this time, Pharaoh dreamed that there were seven fat cows and seven skinny cows. And the skinny cows ate up the fat cows. And in his second dream, there were seven sickly-looking ears of wheat and seven strong-looking ears of wheat, and the sickly ones ate up the strong ones, and no one could interpret it. But then the butler happened to remember that there was this young man in prison who could interpret dreams. And so they brought him out of prison, brought him before Pharaoh, and Joseph interpreted the dream for Pharaoh. And he said, "There are coming 7 good years of which you must store up food, because then there's coming 7 years of famine where there'll be no food to eat." So Pharaoh was so impressed with Joseph that he put him in charge of this operation, of gathering up this food and putting it into place. Now, after several years go by, when the years of lean come, when there is a famine in the land, Joseph's brothers come to Egypt to receive food for their family. And it's in this moment that now Joseph is restored. He reveals himself to his brothers, and he brings his family back to Egypt. And after they're back in Egypt and being taken care of, then Joseph's father dies. And when he dies, his brothers are worried. They say, "The only reason that Joseph didn't have us killed is because our father Jacob was still alive. And now that he's gone, he's going to kill us. We're sure of it." And so it comes to this moment that they come up with this thing. They say, "We're going to tell Joseph that our father said, you know, please forgive your brothers. Don't punish them for what they did." And so they come to Joseph, and that's what we find ourselves here in Genesis chapter 50. So if you go back up just to verse 16, and it says, "They sent a messenger to Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so now he shall say to Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God thy father. And Joseph wept when he spake unto them." So they're worried that Joseph is going to kill them. But now Joseph has already forgiven them. Joseph is already in this place. He's not out to seek evil against his brothers, but you know why? Because Joseph understands, in the midst of all the things that went wrong, of all the evil that was done against him, of all the things that had happened, that God had his perfect plan in action. And that's why he says in verse 20, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." There's a few things I want us to notice here tonight in this text. The first thing is that we have an enemy. Now, Joseph says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me." Now, why is it that Joseph would say this? Because we don't find anything, any action outside of his brothers, but what caused his brothers to hate him? Well, Satan did. If we find anybody doing something evil, where does it come from? Well, it comes from Satan. Now, we need to understand this, that as Christians, we have an enemy. We have an enemy who hates every single fiber of our being. If we're a child of God, he hates everything that we do because he wants us to be destroyed. He knows he doesn't have us any longer. He doesn't have control of our soul. So he's going to do everything he can to distract us, to push us off, to discourage us, everything he can do to keep us from walking in the fullness that God has for us as believers in Jesus Christ. So it's important that we realize that we have an enemy who is out there. But the great thing about this is that we know that our enemy has already been defeated, that he can't do anything against us that God does not allow him to do. That's an encouraging thing to know as you read through the book of Job, and you find Job, who experienced all of this difficulty in his life, but he was never allowed to experience anything more than God allowed to happen. So we have an enemy. We need to understand that. The second thing we need to understand is that as Christians, we will experience difficulty. Now, there are a lot of preachers out there on television who will tell you that if you become a Christian, everything will just be perfect, right? You can have your best life now and everything will be okay. But that's not what the Scripture tells us. If you look at Job, you look at Joseph, you look at Paul, you look at the disciples, every one of them experienced great difficulty in their life. Now, I want to encourage you tonight that just because you're experiencing difficulty does not mean that God does not love you. Because that may be what you're tempted to think. You say, "Well, I'm walking through this problem. Maybe God doesn't love me as much as I think he did." Don't believe that. God loves you. If you're his child, he loves you. He cares for you. You can find the example all through the Scriptures of the children of God walking through difficult seasons. Difficulty does not mean that God doesn't love you. The other thing to realize is that just because you experience difficulty doesn't necessarily mean that it's because of your sin. Now, it could be. I want to preface it by saying it could be. I believe that God does sometimes allow us to walk through difficulty because of our sinfulness. We've committed a sin or are walking in sin, and God says, okay, I'm going to allow you to experience some difficulty because I want you to turn away from those things and stop doing them. That could be the case. But just because you experience difficulty doesn't necessarily mean it's because you've done something wrong. We live in a sinful world. And because we live in a sinful world, we are going to experience difficulty. The third thing to realize is that just because you experience difficulty doesn't mean that you're not good enough. It doesn't mean that you're not a good enough Christian, that you've not read your Bible enough or you've not sang hard enough, because difficulty comes for all of us. So we have an enemy that we have to face. We will experience difficulty. But the third thing that we find here from the life of Joseph is that in the midst of that difficulty, and this is the hard thing sometimes, is that we must maintain our integrity before God. Now, when Joseph was sinned against by his brothers, it would have been very easy for him, even in that moment, to just give up, right? Think about how you would have responded. If you had been faithfully serving God and trying to do everything you knew to do as a child of God and in his family situation, and now he's been taken by his brothers, sold to strangers, and now finds himself in slavery in Egypt, it would have been very easy for Joseph to say, you know what, forget God. And why would he allow something like this to happen to me? No God who really loves me would let something like this happen. But no, Joseph trusted God, even when he couldn't see the answer. Even when he couldn't understand, because in that moment when Joseph arrived in Egypt and he was sold into Potiphar's house, Joseph had no idea what was going to happen in the next 20 years. But he trusted God. Then Joseph was sinned against by Potiphar's wife. He had spent 13 years faithfully serving the household of Potiphar, doing everything he could to ensure the success of that household. And then Potiphar's wife made this false accusation against him. And in an instant, everything that Joseph had worked for was taken away. Now, it would have been very easy in that moment for Joseph to say, okay, this is it. I gave God a second chance, and now something else has happened. I'm not going to serve him anymore. But Joseph didn't. In fact, when Potiphar's wife came to him, here's what he says in Genesis chapter 39. He said, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is in with me in this house, and he hath committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater than this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me, but because thou art his wife, how then can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Joseph would not sin against his master Potiphar, and he would not sin against his God. So this false accusation came, and he was thrown into prison. And then Joseph was sinned against by Potiphar himself because, again, he had faithfully served him all these years. And in this one moment, Potiphar believed his wife over Joseph and he threw him into prison. But brothers and sisters, it's encouraging to know that false accusations never stand before the righteous judge. This world may make accusations against us. This world may accuse us of all kinds of heinous things. But the God of all the earth knows what is right. And even in those difficult situations, we can trust in him. Because I've been in situations before where things were said about me, and the first thing that you want to do is come to your own defense, right? Nobody wants to have a bad reputation. Nobody wants to have people think evil about them. But sometimes we just have to trust God and know that he is working all things. And then Joseph was sinned against by the chief butler of Pharaoh. Because here this man had promised, if I get out of prison, I will come back and I will let you, I will remember you as I get out. But then he was forgotten. And there Joseph sat continually in prison. But brothers and sisters, aren't you encouraged tonight that men may forget their promises, but God does not? Men may forget all the things that they promised to us, but God never forgets. So we have an enemy. We will experience difficulty. We must maintain our integrity. The next thing I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture tonight is that God is always with us and working for us. Notice what Joseph says. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. God meant it unto good. even these sinful things that Joseph's brother had done, the sinful things that Potiphar had done, the sinful things that his wife had done, the sinful things that had happened against Joseph all throughout his life, God meant it unto good. Because God is so great that he can even use the sinful acts of men to accomplish his purpose. Now, we need to be very clear that this doesn't excuse their sin. Sin always has consequences, and sin always must be punished. But God can use the sinful acts of men to accomplish his will. What is the greatest sin that was ever committed? You could say in the Garden of Eden, the original sin. But I think also you could go to the sin of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the killing of Jesus. And what does it say? It says that God caused all of these things to happen. The scripture is very clear that the men who crucified Jesus were not empty-handed in their transgressions, but that God used their sinfulness to accomplish his purposes. So God is always with us and working for us because he loves us and he cares about us. So God meant it. Why? God meant it unto good. So the next time you experience difficulty, the next time somebody sins against you, the next time you walk through a season of life where you don't know what to do, trust in the fact that God can use those things to accomplish his purposes in your life. And not that just God can use those purposes, but that God is using those things to accomplish his purposes in your life. And the last thing I want you to notice in this text is that God will always bring about his purposes. He says, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. God was not just doing something random. God had a specific purpose. What was he doing? God was saving his people, the people of Israel. And why was this so important? Because this is where Jesus is coming from. So what God is doing through the acts of sinful men in the life of Joseph is ensuring that the lineage of Jesus Christ would continue on, that the lineage of the Messiah would continue so that he could then accomplish his ultimate purpose in bringing Jesus Christ to this earth to save us from our sins. God meant it to good. Now, Joseph was not fully aware of all of these things, but he trusted God. And he knew that in the midst of this, that because he was endeavoring to be faithful, that God would be faithful in return. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. When Joseph's brothers came to him, he relayed to them his firm belief in the providence of God, that everything that had happened to him, whether good or evil, have been purposefully used by God to accomplish his purposes. In the providence of God, what we discover and what we find and what we are comforted by is the understanding that no matter what happens to us in this life, that God is there in the middle of it, working out his perfect plan. Brothers and sisters, this is not always easy. I stand before you tonight as a man who struggles with this immensely. It is not easy for me sometimes to look around at the situations that I'm in and believe this. But what I have to do sometimes is tell myself, this is what the scripture says, and this is what's true. And I have to believe it because I know it to be true. What Satan means for evil, God will use for good. God is working all things for our good. Be encouraged in that tonight. Wherever you may sit tonight, whatever things may be going on, whatever may be happening in your life, God will use it for good, and God is working all things for our good. You may not see it, you may not understand it, but God is there in the midst, and he is working on your behalf. He is working to accomplish his purpose. So as you look forward to 2019 and you look forward to see what is going to happen, know and trust in this firm belief that God loves you and he cares for you. He's working all things for your good. And no matter what may happen, God is going to accomplish his purposes for you. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for your providence in our lives. We're thankful for what you have given to us. Lord, we are thankful that we can trust in you. Lord, no matter what we may be facing, no matter how discouraged we may be, to know and to rely upon the fact that you love us, that you care for us, and that you're working all things for our good. Father, I pray again tonight, if there's someone here and they're discouraged, maybe they're sick and there's no answers. Maybe they're walking through a situation with a child and they just can't seem to figure out what they need to do next. Lord, I pray that you will just remind them of these words over and over and over again. That you've not abandoned them, that you've not forsaken them, but you're always there working in the midst. Lord, we love you and we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.